Hey, Stacey here. Thank you for listening to Planet Money. If you like the show and want to help us out, I have an easy way that you can do that. We want to better understand who is listening to the show and how you are using podcasts. So we're asking you to complete a short anonymous survey, if you've got time, at npr.org/podcast survey. One word. It takes less than 10 minutes, and it really helps support the show. That is npr.org/podcast survey. One word. Now on to today's show. Today's show was originally reported in 2017, but you know, it is about taxes, and what is more timeless than taxes? Also, we've got an update for you at the end. One of our producers here at Planet Money, Elizabeth Kulas, had recently moved to the U.S. from Australia, and she got this kind of interesting initiation into American life. She did her taxes. At first, she and her husband, Matthew Harding, tried to do it on their own, but then the taxes kind of took over their apartment.
On our dining room table, we have a pile of W-2s, 5-1099s, and then there's some other forms like a 1095-C.
Elizabeth and Matthew realized they were going to need some help, so they hired an accountant.
It could easily be $500 that we're going to spend at the accountant.
What did you say to me the other day? You would be happy if it was less than $1,000 that she charges us.
And this is all kind of blowing their minds because there is nothing like this in Australia. In Australia, paying taxes is really fast and easy. In fact, Elizabeth and Matthew couldn't even tell me when Australian tax day was. So is there an equivalent of April 15th in Australia?
Not really, huh?
No, there is, yeah.
But I don't remember it being such a thing.
I think it's like February or March.
It's October 31st, actually. But in most of the rest of the world, they don't know when tax day is either. All of the crazy stress around taxes, the 24-hour hotlines, the software, the accordion folders full of receipts, the lines down the street at H&R Block, that is pretty much just a U.S. thing. So we have it the worst. Our taxes are the worst taxes.
Our filing system is the worst.
Like, objectively?
Yeah, objectively.
Joseph Bankman is a professor of tax law at Stanford, and he says collectively, we spend billions of dollars and billions of hours every year filing our taxes, not to mention the emotional angst. And Joe says it does not have to be this way. And in most of the world, it's not. And Joe knows exactly how to fix this. Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and with me today is Alex Mayassi.
Hey, Stacey.
And Alex, you brought us this great story of Joe versus the tax system.
That's right. It's a story of this lovable professor who believes that paying taxes does not need to be so difficult. He goes on a year-long quest to make filing taxes easier for everyone.
And you might be wondering, but who would want to keep taxes complicated? Well, I will tell you who. A multi-billion dollar corporation and one of the most important power brokers in Washington.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from First Republic Bank. Grad school is hard. Landing a great job is hard. Refinancing your student loan debt doesn't have to be. First Republic makes it simple. They offer some of the lowest fixed rates in the country, and you can combine your loans into one simple monthly payment. First Republic's dedicated bankers are available to you whenever you need them, offering exceptional service throughout the loan process and beyond. Visit firstrepublic.com/SLR today.
Hey, it's Ophira Eisenberg, host of NPR's Ask Me Another. For the entire month of April, we're celebrating women in comedy. And we're kicking things off with Russian Doll actor Greta Lee and co-creator Leslie Headland. And later in the month, we'll be joined by Retta from NBC's Parks and Recreation and Good Girls. And many more. Start listening this Friday.
So, Alex, Joe Bankman does not look like your typical warrior hero. What's the best way to describe him?
When Steven Spielberg inevitably directs a blockbuster movie about taxes, Joe Bankman will be played by Tom Hanks. Mind you, it's a Tom Hanks who's been teaching tax law at Stanford for 30 years.
Also, a very dressed down Tom Hanks, because Alex, when we talked to Joe Bankman at Stanford, you remarked that, you know, nobody was very dressed up.
Joe and I are both pretty casual.
Alex is being very sweet, but as I look at these pair of slacks, I notice there's a stain on one of them, and the cuffs are frayed.
So most of us really hate taxes. But Joe Bankman loves taxes.
Joe loves taxes so much that he thinks about them in his spare time. In fact, he spent time when he's not in class or on campus helping the state of California work on tax policy.
Back in 2003, Joe was part of this little team that was working with the state to help take down tax shelters.
We had just done a bill to penalize a form of tax shelter, and it raised a lot of money for the state. And we were all out to lunch at a mediocre restaurant in Sacramento.
Oh, you were like celebrating?
Yeah, we were celebrating.
Joe and his California tax team are eating lunch and talking shop, and they tell Joe they have this idea. An idea they think would save California a bunch of money and time and help taxpayers. They say most people in California have really simple taxes. They get all of their income from a regular paycheck, and taxes are already withheld from those paychecks.
So their idea was, why don't we start off giving them a tax return that's already filled out with the income we know they have, and then they can make corrections on it. That was their idea.
Basically, the government would send you a tax return that was already filled out. It would include all of the income that the state knew about, all the taxes that had already been withheld from your paychecks, and you would look it over and mail it in.
Joe knew this was how taxes worked in most countries. It's how it works in Europe, parts of Asia, Scandinavia, Australia. And so he thought, why not here?
The way I think of it is, imagine if the credit card companies acted like the IRS. Each month, you'd get a Visa bill and it'd be a blank piece of paper. And you'd have to write down all of your purchases and add it up. And if you did it wrong, you'd face a penalty. So the IRS could act like Visa.
And paying taxes would be like paying a credit card bill. And we could be like Elizabeth and Matthew, our first-time taxpayers, and not know when our tax day is either. So now Joe and his team had this idea. But they still needed to make it real. They had to figure out what this form would be and what it would look like. And so, Alex, we have it right here in front of us. It does not look like a tax form I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, it's just one page. It looks pretty friendly. It's not a bunch of legalese. You know, it says easy as 1, 2, 3. Step 1, review your return. Step 2, make any changes. And step 3, send it back. That's it.
I know there's something so friendly about it. At the top, it says, filing your taxes just got easier. And then it has the name that Joe and his team gave to this form and to this whole project.
We called it a ready return.
Oh, I like ready return. It's snappy.
It's snappier, isn't it?
Now Joe and his California tax team have this form ready, this very friendly form. But they still have to see if ready return is actually going to work, if taxpayers would use it, if they would like it. So they did a pilot program in California. In the 2004 tax season, they sent ready returns out to about 11,000 taxpayers, along with this little survey.
So we asked people, do you think you'd like to use this again next year? And 99% of the people said yes. 99% of the people don't say yes to anything.
99% is sort of amazing.
I talked to someone else who was involved in Ready Return, and what he told me is, when you work in government, nothing gets reviews like that. He said, you don't get 99% satisfaction rates with the polio vaccine. It's just unheard of.
Probably true. And it wasn't just the survey either. The thing Joe was actually the proudest of were the comments that people had written in on their surveys. And he actually brought a stack of these printed out comments in to talk with us.
What I do is I rifle through some of the pages, and then I ask people to tell me when to stop, because I don't want anybody to think I'm cherry picking. So tell me, here, Alex can see me. Tell me when to stop.
Flip it through the pages, and I will tell him to stop right now.
Okay.
He's on a random page.
I'm on some random. And the first one, thank you for allowing me to participate. Second, this was very easy and convenient. Third, no problems. I loved it.
Someone said, I loved it?
I loved it. Here's one that says, P.S. is the same service available for federal tax returns. This is all capped. And
someone used all caps positively.
Yes.
And there was one comment that really stuck with Joe.
Finally, government's doing something to make my life better for a change.
What did you think when you read that?
I was really touched. I mean, I was really moved. I'm even moved as I think about it now. Because for someone like me, that's your dream, right? You know, if you think about filing taxes each year, it's one of the most important interactions you've got with your government. And how does it make you feel? It makes you pissed. You can't understand it. You're anxious. You're worried about screwing up. And we make 160 million people go through this each year. That's really bad.
Did you think that if we improved that, did you think it would like help improve people's relationship with the government?
Absolutely.
Joe thought his little ready return form could make a big difference in the country. Of course, first, ready return had to pass the California state legislature in Sacramento. But Joe wasn't that worried. I mean, everyone who had tried ready return had loved it. And California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was also on board. So Joe started making the 2-hour car trip from Stanford to Sacramento every week to talk with legislators.
Well, I thought that if I just talked to people, they'd understand. I was kind of naive. I thought, well, I get it that people are conservative or liberal, but since this is a nonpartisan issue, I'll just talk to all of our representatives in Sacramento and explain things to them. But I'm a talker. I thought I could do that.
Joe's a talker.
He is a talker. And he made a list of all the legislators who would be voting on Ready Return. And he just started calling up their offices and asking for meetings.
I wasn't getting enough meetings. People would put me off or they'd say, we'll get back to you.
And even when Joe did get a meeting, it didn't always go so well.
Well, one meeting, somebody said, I've been warned about you. That was what it started with.
What did they mean?
They meant that the Intuit lobbyist had already been in.
Intuit is the company that owns TurboTax. TurboTax is, of course, the very popular tax preparation software. It is a multi-billion dollar business. A multi-billion dollar business that was now staring down the barrel of Joe's Ready Return plan. And if you look at this from TurboTax's point of view, this is not good. I mean, Ready Return is all about making taxes easier. And if your taxes are easier, you're a whole lot less likely to spend $100 on tax preparation software.
So Joe started hearing that Intuit was asking around about his plan. He would give these little talks, you know, for legislators about Ready Return, or he'd give an academic talk for students and professors. And he started noticing something odd. Whenever he gave a talk, he would always notice someone from Intuit in the crowd.
They would show up at talks I would give.
How would you know that it was them?
I give a lot of talks, and I'm only going to get like 10, 30 people. And everybody looks like an academic, but one woman comes in, and she's kind of looking a little corporate. She's like dressed better than the rest of us, right? And so that's a tip off right away.
Tax academics are not the best dressed people in the world.
No.
Intuit didn't want to talk to us for this piece, but they sent us a statement. It said that they have long advocated for tax simplification, but that Ready Return, quote, minimizes taxpayer engagement. They think that's a bad thing.
Joe discovered that Intuit had been very busy in Sacramento, meeting with politicians, giving money. Intuit gave $1 million to a PAC that supported one of the key politicians on the Ready Return issue. And this kind of thing happens all the time when you have a little group that is very invested in an issue that affects a lot of people. I mean, the little group, in this case, TurboTax, is willing to spend tons of time and tons of money making something happen. And the large group of people that might benefit a little bit are not willing to spend that time and money. For instance, I would love it if filing my taxes were easier, but I haven't called my congressman. I'm not really willing to spend a whole bunch of money to make that happen. Then again, I am not Joe.
So that's the point where I decided to hire my own lobbyist.
I've never even heard of someone hiring their own lobbyist.
It was really fun. I really enjoyed hiring a lobbyist. I hired a guy named Mike Robeson, who, smart as a whip, really likable, kind of looks like a more svelte James Gandolfini.
But that lobbyist, he didn't come cheap.
How much did that cost?
They gave me a deal because they thought it would be kind of fun to work for this crazed professor.
They were working for you, just you.
Yeah, they're working for me. And so the normal price, I think, would have been $140,000 to get Mike's services. But he gave it to me for only $35,000. So I paid $35,000, I believe.
Like of your own money?
Of my own money.
Like your savings?
Yeah.
why did you spend that money that way?
Well, I felt lucky again to be able to do it. It was a great cause. And everybody, I think, has some causes I think are good causes. And this was a cause that was really good, and nobody else was going to do it but me.
And making that investment, hiring Mike, it paid off.
With Mike Robeson, everybody would talk to me.
Why?
Well, they had relationships with him. Legislators kind of liked that I was with Mike because they also kind of legitimated me. They figure if you're with Mike, you're probably sensible. You probably are going to get good information. If I have a question, I can call your lobbyist if I can't get hold of you.
The meetings start to go a little better. Legislators start listening to Joe, telling him, "You've got my vote." But Joe says he noticed it was hard to get Republicans to back Ready Return. It wasn't just Intuit or campaign money. It had to do with the pledge.
And privately, I should say, a lot of the Republicans told me, well, this just sounds like a no-brainer. I just can't do it because Grover Norquist is opposed it.
Hello, my name is Grover Norquist. I am the president of Americans for Tax Reform. We fight for taxpayers, trying to keep taxes low.
Grover Norquist is a famous anti-tax crusader. He heard about Ready Return and sprang into action.
So it is a way to raise taxes, a way to send people a bill for more taxes than they owe, and they're unlikely to contest it. People don't fight the IRS.
Norquist thought Ready Return is tantamount to a tax hike, because once the government has taxpayers on autopilot, just sort of signing and sending, they'll start sneaking things in, like how cell phone companies sneak in little charges. And you look at them and sort of wonder about them, but in the end, you just pay because it's easier.
And Norquist has this famous pledge. Republicans all across the country take it. And the pledge basically says, I will not support any plan that raises taxes. And that was a problem.
What happens if people break the pledge?
When somebody breaks the pledge, their opponents in the next election tend to remind voters that they lied their way into office. And the press tends to focus on it.
Norquist put out the word to California Republicans. If you back Ready Return, you have broken the pledge.
So Joe Bankman, this tax law professor, and his lone lobbyist are now battling not only a multi-billion dollar software company, but also one of the biggest names in U.S. politics.
Joe kept telling everyone this won't raise taxes. It will just make it easier to pay them. It'll save everyone time and money. But Joe says he talked to a lot of small government types. And actually, they wanted paying taxes to be difficult. Their logic was, if paying taxes is difficult, people will hate taxes and vote against them.
But Joe and Mike kept going. And they started gaining ground, little by little, with Democrats and Republicans locking down votes. And a couple weeks out, they needed just one more vote. One more vote to make Ready Return happen in the entire state of California. And then?
I found a Republican that was going to support it.
Joe convinced a Republican legislator to back the plan. Ignore the pledge, ignore the campaign money. After a year of taking on corporate lobbyists, political power brokers, and so many talks, after spending $35,000 of his own money, this was it. Ready Return looked like it was going to happen.
Just before the vote, Joe had to drive back down to Stanford. But he asked some of the politicians who supported Ready Return to keep him updated. The day of the vote, Joe remembers getting a call.
I could tell by the tone in his voice what the answer was before he said anything. And he said, so-and-so, I've even forgotten the legislator's name, is not with us. It looks like we're going to be one vote short.
One vote short. The Republican had changed his mind, and Joe had lost. And all of the other states that had been calling Joe, asking how they could implement a plan like this, they kind of dropped away.
It was a little bit crushing to lose like that.
How much time had you invested in this?
You know, in a way, it was a year of my life. It was a pretty big blow.
So Joe went back to teaching full time, but he kept pushing Ready Return. A version of it did survive in California. It's buried in the state's tax site, but it's there. A few hundred thousand people use it every year.
And Ready Return has had a pretty interesting legacy. In 2016, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders introduced a bill that looked a lot like Ready Return. They even referenced Joe's pilot program. It did not end up happening.
But Joe says we keep getting close. Eventually, he thinks it's going to happen.
My fantasy is that at some point, it just makes so much sense. We'll join the rest of the world and we'll do it. And I don't know how that's going to happen with our current political climate. Maybe some mid-level bureaucrat will just make the change herself and it'll go through. It'll kind of fly under the radar. That's what I think will happen sooner or later, somehow.
In the meantime, people like Elizabeth and Matthew, our first-time U.S. taxpayers, not to mention all the rest of us, are stuck spending hundreds of dollars and many, many hours filing our taxes. But it is not without its upsides.
And there's a little bit of a sense of, like, accomplishment when we get through it.
Yeah, it's like, I think I was saying to Ali, like, if we can do this, like, we can do anything. This is probably the most daunting task that we've come across, filing a tax return.
Stacey, some couples go to IKEA to put their relationship to the test. We file a tax return.
Welcome to America. We've got an update after the break.
Support for this podcast comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Auditioning for the Netflix reboot of Queer Eye was kind of like trying out for a boy band.
Oh, it was an audition for a boy band. Like, they brought 200 gays in a room and were like, fight!
Karamo Brown on the Fab Five. This week on It's Been a Minute from NPR.
Stacey here. It is now 2019, and I've got an update about the tax story. Our very own tax hero, Joe Bankman, is still teaching at Stanford. He has not given up on trying to simplify our tax system. He is seeing some changes, he says, but not exactly in the way he wanted.
My talks are now less well attended because Intuit doesn't send its representatives anymore.
Okay, so Joe is not striking fear into the hearts of the tax lobby as much as he used to. But he says he is still making progress, little by little.
Maybe one step forward and two steps back. The IRS is moving ahead with the plan to modernize data collection and make more of that data available in a timely manner to your tax preparer.
So it would be easier for your accountant, at least. But for regular people who would like to get their tax forms just all filled out automatically, well, that is not going to happen because of this one line that keeps getting added to the appropriations bill.
The industry has put a rider on a bill that would make it illegal for the federal government to do the kind of return prepopulation that is the basis for Ready Return and that California is doing.
Still, Joe remains optimistic, and he says he is waiting to see if a new Congress or the next presidential election might shake that rider off of the appropriations bill.
Hope springs eternal.
Special thanks to Larry Zelenak and to Alex Mayasi, who originally brought us this story. Today's rerun was produced by our intern, Rachel Cohn. And we always love to hear what you think of the show. We are on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Planet Money, or you can always send us an email, planetmoney@npr.org. If you like this episode, like Planet Money in general, please leave us a rating or review in your favorite podcast app. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, and this is NPR. Thanks for listening.